Thank you so much for the warm introduction, and thank you for having me here. It's truly a privilege to be able to share in this capacity on sponsoring. Before I jump into that, I really want to emphasize what a privilege it is. 9 months ago, or let's say 10 months ago, I could have never envisioned that my life would be where my life is right now, where my life is today. And I'm just really truly grateful that that God broke into my desperation and set me on a new path. And so I am grateful to have been asked, and I'm grateful to be able to share what I've learned over the past few months in sponsoring. So I'll just jump right in. And the way I'll start is by talking about things that ought to be considered before the very first conversation with a sponsee. Seven things to remember. I believe that the most important thing for a sponsor, as we consider just the mentality that we ought to have as sponsors, the most important thing, the first of my seven things to remember is this. My job as a sponsor is to put the hand of the sponsee in the hand of their higher power. Higher power is the solution. And if I do nothing else, my primary job is to put their hand in God's hand, in their hand, like help them if they don't have a concept of a higher power, to help them to develop one, and then to ensure that they are connected deeply, meaningfully, intentionally, with their higher power. The second thing to remember would be that the 12 steps is that tool that connects them to their higher power. It is the process, it's the step. I don't know, maybe not a tool, maybe tool is the wrong word, but it is the bridge, the method, the way that they connect with their higher power. The third thing to remember before our first conversation with the sponsee is that we can't transmit something we don't have. I can't give someone something that I am not currently experiencing. My personal spiritual awakening and connection to a higher power is the very best gift that I can give and model to my sponsee. The fourth thing to remember is before talking with a potential sponsee, I should reread chapter 7 in the big book just so that I am fresh on the attitudes and mentalities and some of the do's and don'ts and some of the best practices that the big book suggests, tested and tried principles. I should be very familiar with that. So chapter 7 in the big book is something that I should reread, just to make sure that I am up to date on that, that it's fresh in my mind. The fifth thing I would suggest is that people recover best when they are comfortable. So I need to help my sponsee. It's a scary notion to connect my who, like where I am at the beginning of the journey. It's sometimes hard to just be open and just trust another person. So one of the things that helps the sponsee is to help them to be comfortable, help them to know that, I'm just another person on the road that they're on. Maybe I'm three steps ahead of them, or maybe I'm just one footstep ahead of them, right? Or I got on, I heard an analogy once. I said, I got on the bus one stop before you, right? But we are literally the same. And so my job is to help them to feel comfortable, to be able to, because if they are comfortable, then they will I believe that they will be able to invest more of themselves in the process. And if they're nervous or if they're hiding or if they feel like they have to prove something or anything along those lines. The sixth thing that I would say we must all, or these are of course suggestions, the things that have worked for me. The sixth thing would be that the goal of the initial conversation that I'm going to have is to form a relationship, a friendship, to make a connection. I know I hear it said many times, I'm not my sponsee's friend. But for me, I am in a better place to be of influence and help if I'm friendly. I see myself more as a guide on the side than the sage on the stage. And as a guide on the side, I am your friend. So I'm trying to form a relationship, but a friendly relationship where there is a connection that we can build upon. And the last thing I would suggest to remember is to have the meetings, if possible, in person. But if not, at least be able to see the person, be visible. That makes a huge difference. And so, part of the initial conversation, both me and the potential sponsee can share our qualifications. Share what has brought us. Share our story. Right? Just talk. Because when I share what I have done, where I have been. And where higher power has brought me from, it helps the potential sponsee to also be open, honest, and transparent to share where they have been because they know that they're not speaking to somebody who hasn't had similar. We wouldn't have had the exact experiences, but we would have had similar experiences and a lot of similar. When I can connect what we have experienced in similar ways, then they can feel comfortable to share and to be open and to be honest. So sharing the qualifications, then sharing goals and intentions for the program. Of course, I've said already my goal, and I let them know this in this initial conversation. My goal is to put their hands into their higher power's hand, but I want to know what they are hoping to accomplish in the program, right? What are they hoping to achieve? I want to ensure in this initial conversation that the sponsee has access to the relevant books that we're going to be using, and put them onto online versions of the books if they don't have hard copies, or at least if they prefer hard copies but they don't have any at the start, at least they can have an online version to start off with, so that nothing gets in the way of getting them started right away, right? And then I usually how I was sponsored, I should say, because I primarily sponsor how I was sponsored. So how I was sponsored is that I was given an initial assignment, and I learned afterwards that that was to assess my commitment level, right? My sponsor did that to see how invested I was in the process, how long it took me to get it done, how she was listening for certain things. So usually an initial assignment is given. Typically, I have given to read the doctor's opinion in the big book, to listen to a podcast on that chapter, and to write down three things that stands out to the sponsee and why those things stood out to her, and then to write down any questions. And then, I let them know that when you're done, text me so that we can set up a time to talk. And so I do that very intentionally to have the sponsee set up have the sponsee reach out to me. This puts the ball in their court, and it lets them be in charge of their own recovery. If I don't hear from them after a few days, I can message them, hey, how's it going? And And if, of course, if I don't hear from them after that, then I just assume that they're not interested in pursuing the relationship, the sponsor-sponsor relationship. I mean, not necessarily just a fellow in the program, but that particular relationship. And after that, if they are interested and they do come and call me back, or we make an appointment, we meet, we talk about the initial assignment, what resonated with them, what stood out, what questions they have, and things like that. In that initial, after the initial assignment is completed, in that first meeting, I usually share with them some things, some suggestions that I would want them. I call them non-negotiables, things that I would want them to do. Again, this was how I was sponsored. In my own sponsoring, I do this part. I've had to tweak it a little bit. So I have now decided that I will discuss their food, not necessarily tell them that they have to send me their weighed and measured food plan. When I was sponsored, I was instructed that I had to send my, and I was on one and it was fine. I didn't have an issue. But I've learned subsequently that this is not the only way. And that was, I learned that through a sponsee who has a lot of just medical issues. She has a nutritionist. Her nutritionist guides what she does with her food, her doctor. So between her doctor and her nutritionist, and I am neither one of those things. So, I've learned that I discuss with her where she's at in her, in terms of her food. I discuss with her what her her plan is, and she tells me like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do, like things like that, as opposed to dictating you must send me this, that, and the other. Afterwards, I realized that that was actually God had actually set it up that way because she had had a really terrible experience in another situation that she had been in. So I've just, my point is that I've learned that discussing the food as opposed to starting off by dictating what the food ought to look like is the way that works for me. I also suggest time with God, and I suggest a 30-minute time frame. That's how I was sponsored, but again, I've learned to make these statements less dictatorial and more suggestive. With my second sponsee, she has taught me a lot on how it is. With my first sponsee, she was like, "Oh, yep, 30 minutes, cool, boom." Second one was like, I don't have a relationship with God. I'm actually trying to figure out what my thoughts are towards God. I don't know what I would do for 30 minutes. Could I start with five? And what am I gonna say? No, you must do 30. Right? So I said, sure. And let's some of our time that we spend together, let's do some meditative things together, so that it was almost like a bit of modeling. So these are just some of the things that I've learned to tweak based on the situation that the sponsee is in. Daily sacrifice, like again, having intentional daily sacrificial actions or daily service, I guess is really what I'm saying. Ha suggesting that to the sponsee and explaining that what self-sacrifice, like something sacrificial, means that you're giving up something in order to be of service or of help to someone else. And suggesting three things is another one of the non-negotiables that I suggest. So that's why the term non-negotiables is really, it's not really non-negotiable, but because it is really it's suggestions. Suggesting to go to a certain amount of meetings each week, and the sponsee can say what their schedule can handle. I do give suggestions of meetings that I know have strong recovery. Some of the meetings that I attend myself, but if the sponsee has meetings that they go to that they are connected with them, that's fine as well, of course. The phone calls, I've learned that the phone calls are a tool, and it's something that it's helpful to them. Me personally, I still struggle with making three phone calls every single day, and so I suggest it. I let them know that it is helpful. I do, even though I struggle with it, I do benefit from it when I do it. Then the sixth thing that I suggest to them is to always, well, this one is actually an actual non-negotiable, to be rigorously honest. If you're not honest, you will not recover. And so being rigorously honest is probably the only thing that I would say is an absolute hard non-negotiable. And I do suggest to them for the seventh thing that they are entering what can be termed a hospitalization period. And I share with them my own experience with this. When I was sponsored and told that, don't have any vacations unless it was already planned, or don't go to any restaurants, or don't start any new projects. I did it, but I didn't understand it, and I felt like, oh, why is she trying to tell me what to do? But later on, when I did end up going on a trip, and I realized how difficult it was to navigate the trip, and I was in my fourth step at that time, and I saw how difficult it was to start a new project and also stay just as focused as I was when I was at home, just focused on program. I realized the wisdom of the hospitalization period. So I share my experience with it, and when I share that suggestion, so that the heart of the suggestion is understood. And then in my last 3 minutes here, which I believe I have a timer going, so I hope that I'm on track with the time. I want to spend this last few minutes just talking about the just highlights from each of the steps. As I take my sponsee through each steps, out of step one, I definitely want to make sure that they have a good definition of what it means to be powerless and what it means that my life is unmanageable. That unmanageability, really understanding, that you can be perfectly managing in other areas, but it's specifically referring to the insanity surrounding food, and making sure that they understand clearly, the two parts of what it means to be an addict, right? The allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, and differentiating between moderate drinkers, hard drinkers, and real alcoholics, right? So I want to make sure that that comes out in step one. In step two, I want to make sure that they understand that there is no middle of the road solution, and that by the end of us going through step two, that they at least believe that there is a power greater than themselves who could restore them to sanity. Even if they don't have a full working belief in God, but at least they are willing to believe that some higher power could help them, right? In step three, I want to ensure that they have a clear definition of what it means. What is your will, and what does it mean to turn your will and your life over? And there is a personalization of pages 60 to 63 that I was given to read to three other people, and I found that very helpful. So I always ensure that's done. In step four, having that character defect definition, and then of course the inventories and having that ideals, well, the inventories of course, so making sure that that they do do it quickly, but as thoroughly as they can and as honestly as they can. In step five, making sure that that I listen well and I love them well as they share these deep, painful things. There's a step six worksheet that I try to ensure which is where the ideals are turned around, the defects are turned into ideals. And step seven, having them memorize that step seven prayer. In step eight, making sure that they have a good, you don't, that they don't feel that they have to do everything perfectly. I know that's the time right there.
No, sure. Go through the steps. You're fine.
Okay, I can finish. Okay. Yeah, so step eight, just ensuring that they understand that an amend is not an apology, but that the column three, in step four is what helps them let them know what an amend is. And of course, step nine, going through all of those amends and then living in the blessings of steps 10 to 12. Step 10, giving them options for inventory where, where step 10 inventory where, that there's like that paper one or the online version, or just giving them options. Step 11, helping them to have some options for meditation practices or two-way prayers, nightly reviews. And of course, step 12, helping them to, as quickly as they can, find a sponsee that they can give away what was given to them. Yeah, that's the way that I was sponsored and the way that I have been sponsoring for the past since July, and I am really grateful. So thank you so much for allowing me to share.